panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR On Demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR proudly broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations, and we pay respects to Elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in, especially this week as we close out Mabo Week. And we acknowledge that all the lands were stolen and never ceded. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land. As I said, I'm Sally Goldner. I proudly use the pronouns she and her. Welcome to listeners of all genders, including but not limited to ladies and gentlemen. And we opened up, as I said, appropriately in Mabo Week with Eddie Mabo, the classic song from Neil Murray's The Wandering Kind album back in 1999. Songs that talk about things, songs that send messages. These are good things. If you have messages, we can communicate with you via all the modern means of communication. Out of the pan 855 at gmail.com. You can SMS 61456751215. Look for posts on Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. And there are posts on Facebook, Out of the Pan 3CR, 855 AM Melbourne, and my page, Sally Goldner. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. Don't think there'll be any content notes for now, but if needed, I will give the numbers. But certainly no content notes needed for the fabulous guests who have joined me in the studio talking songs that talk about things, which can be folk music. I've got two fabulous guests in from the Shout Youth Chorus. We had the Melbourne Pride Chorus in a few weeks ago, so we're the chorus keeps singing. Alex and Joey, welcome to Out of the Pan on 3CR.
Thank you so much for having us.
I'll get you to introduce yourselves, and if it's okay to ask, which pronouns you each use, if any.
Hi, so I'm Alex. I use they, them pronouns, and I'm the conductor, music director of Shout Youth Chorus.
And?
I'm Joey. I am a member of the choir. My pronouns are she, they.
Good to have you both with us. Folks is folks, as they say. But, you know, seriously, you've got this fabulous show coming up Saturday week, less than 2 weeks away. Folk is folk for folks, the old songs, the new ones, and everything in between. What gave you the idea to do a folk-themed chorus? Either of you chip in, and anyone who wants to bounce off, just go for it.
Thank you. Well, folk music, make it really simple. I really like it. And
that sounds logical.
You know, it's a really, there's a beautiful inclusivity and democracy to singing full stop, and folk music really embodies that, I think. And I think a lot of the programs that I haven't had a chance to do a folk music program in my directing, and the few artists, I would like to have included more in the program looking back on it, but Melbourne folky artists like Angie McMahon that I adore with every part of my soul, that really inspired me to look at the history of folk music. It's such a long history and international history, but there's just a lot of opportunity for fun, inclusive, and beautiful singing. Yeah.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about it, Joey?
I remember when Alex told me about it. And I immediately was like, oh my God, this is everything I've ever wanted. I really love folk music, and I think it really lends well to choirs in general, but especially our choir. I think one thing that folk music and our choir has in common is that it's often very raw. It's it's the voices and the instruments in communication with each other. And I think that's definitely similar to how we perform. You know, all we've got is our voices and our bodies and a wonderful accompaniment on piano. So I think those kinds of paired back, raw, just letting the words and the voices speak for themselves, I think they interact really well with each other. And also, folk music is just great. They're beautiful.
Yeah. No, look, I'm with you on the harmony type of things. I'm giving my age away. I mean, it's well known. So I'm thinking, things like the Seekers, that sort of thing, which had harmonies, and I grew up on other harmony music, which wasn't necessarily folk, but I'm all for a good harmony. So I think it blends itself really, really well. That's the thing. And I think the other thing is, folk music does often tend to have somewhat of some, I I keep giving my age away proudly. Bob Dylan, you know, in the 60s, that sort of thing is perhaps where I think of a folk and those sorts of things. Is that was that a thought as well when you decided to put a show together? Folk is folks.
Okay, a bit of the political lens of what folk can do. Definitely, and you know, there's some of these. We're doing Big Yellow Taxi in the concert, and certainly this story about it was more the climate nature that I wanted to focus on in some of the not explicit but subtle political messaging through the concert. Mm-hmm. Like almost every single one of these songs comes back to nature, and that thing that we need to preserve and take such great care of. We're doing. Yellow by Sally Whitwell. This is more of a sort of contemporary classical take on folk music, but she's an amazing quick composer based now in Canberra. Talking about this, the beauty of being on the beach with your friends and how nature inspires us, and following it up with Big Yellow Taxi about what's being taken away and what's being can be taken from us. And I know the first half of the concert is a lot older music. We start with the oldest piece of secular music written down on paper or on notes in the Western Canada music, which is Summer Is a Coming In, which is this folk song about romping in the fields. it was about nearly 1,000 years old. Try and get to that sort of things that we preserve and things we want to take with us, sort of ideas about what music can do.
I think also another thing that I think is really special about this concert is that folk music is something that's shared. It's it brings people together. It's has that sort of community vibe to it. And I think that I'm really excited to be doing that with this choir in particular, because I think one of the main things that I wanted out of this choir, and I definitely got, is a sense of community. So it's really exciting to be performing music that, I guess strengthens that sense of community.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, one of the things that, we sometimes say is, I make the joking reference to covering all genders, including ladies and gentlemen, because folks is a gender-inclusive term when we use it that way. But the thing that is great about folk is folks is the show that you're putting on is you're looking at this through a folk music through a queer lens. How when you're doing a song that is known, convey the queerness, I suppose, would be a good thought.
Well, I think there's a wonderful... I'm interested to see what you say about this, Joey, but having queer people in space and, obviously queer people in space, this is getting to, choirist theatre, but when we see people singing these songs who's obviously not gender-conforming and who are, it instantly... And seeing trans people in spaces like this, and then we can recontextualize all these words instantly. I went to a show the other week, went to a beautiful Mama Alto show, and seeing a performer like her and their friends singing these old jazz standards, right? Yeah. And they might sing a love song that we traditionally know about one gender that's speaking to in a very heteronormative way about another. And then you see beautiful trans people in space singing these songs, instantly changes every single thing you mean about it. So I think that's one element of recontextualizing and taking these songs and making them our own in a beautiful way. But there's also this element of talking about back to community and, when we create this music together, it's prioritizing queer artists, I guess, in how we program. So making sure that most, if not all of the artists that, and you can't do that with a folk song from the 1100s. You have no idea what their proclivities were, but, and their sense of gender expression. But
you may not be able to translate from ye oldie Englishy or Norse or something like that. But anyway,
exactly.
Details.
Yeah. But with more of a contemporary artist, I'm thinking about are we making sure that those are coming from the queer community and for community and back to community?
Yeah, no, it is. Community is so important, and that leads me, Joey, for something that you mentioned. You joined the chorus 5 years ago.
Last year,
was it? I beg your pardon. But you joined last year during Pride Month.
Yes, I did.
If you can think back to that time when you were joining, what made you want to join Shout? Anything in particular, whether it was Shout, whatever it was.
I actually had known about Melbourne Pride Chorus for quite a while, quite a few years before that. With Melbourne Pride Chorus and Shout, you need to be 18 to join. Mm-hmm. So in high school, I was always thinking, I'm 19, by the way.
Yeah.
But in high school, I was always thinking, like, I know about this choir and I want to join and I'm looking forward to when I can join. And then last year, I saw an intake message thing and I was like, I should go for this, and I joined with one of my friends as well. And yeah, it, like, I think something about, like, singing with other queer people was, I think, what always struck me about that. The high school I went to, like, kind of, you know, as it was the experience that I think most people, especially queer people, have in high school, where, like, kind of don't want to be there, you're just kind of getting through it. So I was always drawn to that. Everything goes back to community, but I was always drawn to that beautiful image of community, and I, now that I've joined, I do feel feel like I've got what I wanted out of it.
For people still of all generations, queer people of all generations, you know, high school itself can be isolating, and, you know, heteronormative, gender normative, all that sort of thing, and many other things as well. And, you know, there's that longing for a sense of being with people. And, you struck me about something about, there's something about queer singing together, which, and I had a small light bulb. I'm a person of, in the broad term, spirit, a different note, I'm spirituality. And, but once a year I will make my effort to go to the Pride Shabbat service for Jewish queer people, and there is something about the queer singing. You gave me a light bulb there that's really, really important. I think we need these spaces. It is really good. And, you know, what's sort of been the boost for you in being in turn in, apart from obviously singing, but other benefits of being in Shout, Joey?
Yeah. I mean, I could go on and on about
We've got till 1 o'clock when Freedom of Species comes out, talking environment and that sort of thing. Yeah.
I mean, I know you said other than singing, but I'll start there and then
go for
keep
it.
Going. But I think, first of all, I really love singing with other people. In high school, I, like, was involved in choirs and such, but our music program was so small that we were, like, a choir of, like, four at one point. So to sing with so many other voices is just incredible. And also, it can be really challenging, and I find that really exciting, especially now that I've been singing for a little while. I think I've been singing since I was, like, 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like the pieces we do can be quite challenging, but I find that really exciting. Other than that, also, just first of all, I've made so many wonderful friends.
Yeah.
But also, I think I might be the youngest person in the choir, or one of. But to kind of just, like, have, like, queer people that I know who are, like, adults with, like, jobs and stuff. I never really noticed how much I needed to just, like, see queer adults with jobs to see that, like, I don't know, there is a future and I can, you know, have a normal mundane life.
I'm just going to ask a further question here, and no, don't have to answer, and it's not a huge question, but if, you know, this is a bit of a blue sky question, if you could have a paid job that was your ideal, what would it be?
Oh, that's a very hard question. But I think it's complicated, but I think I would want to be an academic.
Okay.
In history.
Aha. Well, you know, look, we you know, we certainly need that. And of course, from a queer point, a big pun intended shout to the people at ACWA, the Australian Queer Archives,
yes,
who do such an amazing job of documenting our history for years and years and years. Yeah. Graham Willett and the fabulous crew who make sure we remember our history, which I think we need to do. We can learn from it and say, okay, what can we adapt and don't have to reinvent wheels, that sort of thing. Alex, I might ask you, in your role, what prompted you to get involved in Shout when you did, and a bit of your story about it all.
Conducting jobs are really hard to find. So, for context, I'm a full-time muso, or try to be, and which is a very silly thing to do with one's time. But
no, it's a great
thing. It's so much fun. I have no regrets. I sing a lot. I teach singing and music theory, and I conduct choirs. That's sort of all the things that I do. And I've been working with... I found an ensemble about 7 years ago called Avisi, and we do a lot of commissioning queer music and performing stories from the queer community and putting them into classical music.
Wow.
And then suddenly this a friend of mine sent me an email being like, hey, you should go for this job. Shout Youth Corps is looking for a new conductor. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm looking for more conducting opportunities and it's in the queer space. This could not be a more wonderful thing to pass. So I put my, I put my best foot forward and try my best to get the job. And very luckily I was successful. And it's been such a wonderful thing. To be completely honest, it's been a little while at that point since I'd been in front of a community choir. I've been working in really lovely professional rooms for a while. But working with, in a community setting has really reminded me what music is all about. Because, you get so in your head with, all these wonderfully, and can I say the W word? Wanky, pardon me.
We've had bigger than that on the VCR.
wonderfully, wanky classical music spaces. And, you sort of lose why it's important. And it's actually to found community and to sing with other people and to make people smile and to make friends and... it doesn't need to be we want to make something that's, of course, beautiful and that we're all proud of, but it's a wonderful balance of making something for people and for the people in the room, and that and the joy of that experience is a thing that people love to see.
Yeah.
So it's learning curve again of how do I talk to people who haven't spent literally every ounce of their life thinking and talking about music full stop? reminding myself what that's like. It's been really lovely, and I've learned so much from these, from the Shout singers, and it's been amazing. Yeah.
Oh, no, look, that's awesome. And look, seriously, bless our artistic and creative people of all sexual and romantic orientations, gender identities, expressions, everyone. We need all of them. And... I was having, on a digression, I was having a discussion with a friend the other day. I know queer is a term that's often, largely used in connection with LGBTIQA+ communities, but my friend was describing queer as anyone who doesn't fit the sort of 9-to-5 office, mainstream, big inverted commas, rabbit ears going up here in the studio. So we need our queers and our artists, so keep doing all your stuff by all means. Follow your hearts and passions in everything, because that's where we find our unique soul and be leaders. Which is what we need. How many people are in Shout at the moment?
I think when everyone turns up, we're about 28. I want to say I probably should know that number better off the top of my head. But we are actually looking for. We're going to do an intake pretty soon for some new members after this concert. So if you're listening to this and going, oh, wow, that sounds really nice. If you're, ages 18 to 29, we'd love to have you. It's completely unauditioned. Just come up, sing a few notes to me. I put you in a part, and then you're good. but it's and we're looking to grow, because I think I'd love to get the choir to about, closer to 40 is my ideal sort of size for Shout. I think that'd be really, really lovely. It's good fun.
absolutely. So, you touched earlier on some of the artists you've sort of lined up and why for Saturday week. You've picked a great venue as well to do it at, the Abbotsford Convent. Was that deliberate, or how did that work out?
Well, We've been looking for spaces that really want to elevate what this concert is trying to say, and the industrial school at the convent's really lobby for that. It's got these, the fact that it's distressed and it's old and new at the same time, and it's lived in and has a bit of a rich history in, you know, for better or for worse. And it's also sounds great. I don't know if anyone listening has been to a concert there before, but all these stone walls are a really lovely thing to sing in. So it bounces everywhere. It's really easy to make a lovely sound. So, and it also has some interesting nooks and crannies that I think I'm going to use in some funny ways that the choir doesn't know yet. So this is spoilers for the audience, a spoiler for the choir, but spoilers for Joey. But where you're going to be a bit confused about where some of the sound's coming from, and we have more of a very 3D engrossing sonic experience.
Yeah. I should ask, I mean, the Abbots at Convent, obviously down there in Helier Street, Abbotsford, but any particular building that it starts in is based in?
It's all in the industrial school. So we're going to be staying in that room. You know, sadly, the choir doesn't have the money to hire out the entire space. But so if you like, if you're there on the day and you're looking to buy a ticket, I think there'll be lots of signage being very obvious and people sort of waving your way. Mm. Come, have a sing. Come here.
With rainbow paraphernalia because it's Pride Month.
Of course.
Right in the middle 14th. Yeah. Couldn't get any...
And the winter solstice as well, which...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a witchy thing going on too.
Ooh. We can do something about it. Sorry. pun warning. Too late. Anyway. Now, look, this is what we like. You know, I just think, you know, the fun of it, Pride Month, the setting, it just sounds absolutely magical. And, wow, I'm not really sure. I'm not sure what else to ask about,
Can I ask Joey a question?
Yeah.
Joey, what's your favourite song at the concert?
Good question.
Wait, can I see the list? I think I have to say Light, Dark, Light.
Light, Dark, Light.
By Angie McMahon.
Yes.
I just think there's so many, like, beautiful... Like, it's very dynamic. There's, like, sounds in places where they're unexpected. And I really like the, like, juxtaposition between the different, like, parts of the song.
It's beautiful. For those who don't know, Angie McMahon is this glorious folk artist from Melbourne whose album, that we're taking the last bit of the last song on the album, and the album's all about like recovery from mental health and taking care of yourself and like using and nature almost as a way of like light, dark, light being like happiness, the hard times and the good times again. So finishing the concert with this song as a little bit of hope and a little bit of happiness at the end of the tunnel. Yeah, this album has got me through a lot of hard times. It's really lovely to be able to sing a version of it or something from them with this beautiful chorus.
Yeah. Just sounds like too excellent. sort of, what are the challenges? I know what I was going to ask. I'm sorry, my brain was just going to neurodivergent brain going a million miles an hour. I was going to ask you, Alex, you know, what are your, you know, how's it going for you as a conductor in terms of what are the challenges of being a conductor? I mean, you know, we, the unwashed public, see a conductor have an image of a baton, and now my neurodivergent brain wants to go to the Bugs Bunny conducting the orchestra cartoon to catch the fly.
Yeah.
Which probably you...
It's a very accurate depiction, really.
There will be a link to that cartoon in the podcast link for this show. But, you know, how does it all work out for you as a conductor? How do you prepare yourself? What are the challenges of conducting? All that sort of thing. Because it's something that we see a lot, but perhaps we don't quite understand what's involved in being a conductor.
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. Thank you, Sally. Like, I think, yeah, the image that we classically get of a conductor is a lot of hand waving. And I think that's about 5% of the job. Like the hand waving is a technique that people in control of that people use to keep everyone in time and to give expression. And then there's detail to how that technique is done, and it works differently with a whole bunch of every instrument sort of has different things that they see. But that's like really the tip of the iceberg of what conductors do. There's a lot of work behind the scenes, so finding, planning music, learning it yourself so that you can teach it properly, crafting a concert that... crafting the whole concert experience.
Yeah.
So that it's, like, you know, it makes sense, right? There's the idea of concert curation, which is a new term that they're using for programming and sort of all the extra bits and pieces that come with it, but of making something that is cohesive and whole. But I think both the best part and most challenging part of the job is actually all the work with people, because you've got, you know, in Shout's case, you've got 30 beautiful young people that all have different needs and wants, and keeping, you know, you've got that time every week with them, and it has, and really wanting it to be a special, like special time in their week, a special, you know, I know that you can go in there and forget about whatever troubles you might have of the week and spend some time with some friends and leave there. And I really try and make every week so that we're leaving there feeling good and we're leaving there feeling happier than we got in, and with something maybe a little bit lighter. And especially in community spaces, that's the most important thing a conductor can do, I think.
Yeah.
And you do a great job of it.
Oh, thank you, Joey.
Like sometimes like, yeah, choir is a little bit of a commute for me, so I'm like, some weeks I'll be like, oh, I just kind of feel like I don't know if I want to go. And then every time I just push through and go, I end up feeling so much better. I'm like, oh.
Cute. Yeah. I guess mostly about you guys all singing together and making a lovely sound. But
yeah. No, look, I understand that, Joey. It's the passion, and particularly this time of year, you know, sort of if it's after work or school or something.
It's dark when you arrive and dark when you leave. And wet.
I've got the double padded, leather jacket on today and all that sort of thing because I'm going to be out in a boot tonight, all that sort of thing. And you just think, why do I do these things? And then you realise, we do it because in the end we get something out of it. The other thing is, Alex, I mean, you know, music aside, you are seen as a leader and a team leader, which involves leadership, and it involves leadership involving skills about queer people, because people you might be need to be that shoulder to cry on, whether it's musically or otherwise as well. So I imagine that's something that you've had to sort of learn even more about it as well.
Yeah, especially in you know, going from professional rooms into more community rooms. People have differences. People have things that are going through at the time, and it's you want to be there for them. Also, keeping appropriate boundaries, of course, and you know, making sure it's a safe place for everyone to be. With any community, there's going to be, you know, challenges. But we've been really lucky to have a pretty good run of it so far. But it's a thing that happens, you know. But it's been, you know. Everyone really gets along very, very well. So it's, thank goodness, and touching wood. But not been so much of an issue so far, but it, you know, a few times in the last year.
Any team environment or group environment, more than two or three people, is going to have its challenges. There's dynamics, and then it's not just three people. Say if it's three times three is nine or whatever. Yeah. So there's all that interaction stuff. But I'm sure Shout has the values and all that stuff worked out, which is what the glue that holds it together. And first message I got from your fabulous production coordinator colleague, Shaney, said, you're proud of what we do. It's a beautiful expression of queer joy. So I'm sure it can come back to that very easily.
Very easily.
Well, I think we've got everything covered. But if there's anything more you want to add about the show, yourselves, the teamwork, when, where, who, what, how of it all happening.
Just to remind people that on Saturday the 20th of June, please come along to our show at the Abbotsford Convent, Folk for Folks. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And sorry, we should ask what time it's on.
I believe so people... it's 7 p.m.
7:30.
Thank you, Joey. Joey read the media release.
7 p.m. for 7:30. Yep. So, yes, doors open and there's usually some sort of food and drink around the convent.
We're planning some fun nibbles and fun drinks. There might be some mulled wine if we're feeling very lucky. So, you know, mulled wine heaters, you'll be very well catered for and very nice and warm.
Yep. No, but all this, we'll definitely need that, as you said, right on solstice time as we head down there. You know, sort of we're at the low end, or the short days. What is it, the 9-hour, 10-minute days at the moment? And all that sort of thing. But seriously, it just sounds like it's going to be awesome. So put your warm jackets on once to get in the door, people of all genders, and support the fabulous Shout Chorus. Oh, and there was one thing I was going to ask. The ages of the chorus, 18 to 29, but of course there is the Melbourne Pride Chorus to go on to afterwards. I'm curious, is there some sort of, I'll say, transition plan as people hit that sort of 29, 30-ish mark as to how people do that? Because there must be that. Obviously, if you're there for a few years, there's going to be a sense of a bond and all those sorts of things.
So we tend to make sure that people feel, you know, very well supported. The wonderful thing is it's in the same building. And people also tend to be bothies for a while. So if they're really keen, they might go and join the other choir and at the same time be in Shout. So a bit of Pride Chorus is all ages, so there's no reason that anyone in Shout can't be in Pride Chorus. We may tend to make it sort of celebrate them at the end of a concert because it tends we don't tend to like, you know, the day you turn 29, the day you turn 30, out, you know, out to the door, you know, sort of like let people choose their final concert and make sure people feel really happy about leaving and making space for other people.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you so much for having us, Sally. It's been really, really lovely.
Yeah, you're welcome. Now, I was madly doing a few multitasking, which, of course, is not good for someone with ADHD, and I didn't get the exact name of that Angie McMahon song that you really love, Joey.
Well, it's the song is called Light, Dark, Light Again that we're doing, but it comes from a different song. That's what the album's actually called, Light, Dark, Light Again, but it comes from the end of Making It Through, which is the final song of Light, Dark, Light Again.
Okay, then. We have found it on the interweb, so we'll go out with that one as we finish up. Alex, Joey, all the best for the show, all the best for Shout Youth Chorus, and I will put the general web page into the podcast as well. But if you have it, if you've memorized that web page backwards for your website, let's have it.
Oh, it's not off the top of my head. It's probably the Melbourne Pride Chorus website, isn't it?
It is actually.
The Melbourne Pride Chorus website, and then /shout.
Yeah, so melbourneprychorus.org.au/shout.
That's it. We'll pop that into the website, into the podcast link so people can remember it and book those tickets for Saturday week.
Yes.
All the best for it, Chookers, as they say, and we'll play out with, if I can get the technology right, Angie McMahon Making It Through. And wonderful. This is 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Sleepy balloon, I'm celebrating. Making it through, just making it through. And when I grow up, I wanna be like a tree and change with the seasons. Helping people breathe, but all of it cheap life lately is making it through, just making it through. Trying so hard to stay still, terrified that I kill something. Supposed to run out. Time is supposed to. Sun is supposed to go down. Sun is supposed to. Like your mood, like your power, like your battery. Rise, fall, rise. Life, death, life again. Sky, ground, sky. Day, night, day again. Rise, fall.
CR, celebrating 50 years.
For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au and show your support for community-owned and community-run media.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally-made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender-diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital. 3CR.org.au and 3CR On Demand. Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks so much for your company. We just heard from Angie McMahon and a wonderful track call from the Light After Dark album. And that was a spontaneous pick after Joey mentioned that. And well, I've learnt something new today. So because I didn't know about that song making it through, I'll have to investigate that more. That was very, very beautiful, as was the sounds of what's going to happen with the Shout Youth Chorus on Saturday week, the 20th. I unfortunately can't make it due to my wrestling proclivities, which I always have. Nothing like a good proclivity. There we go. So, what else is going on? I've had a message in. Hello, roving reporter out there roving away as you do. And you have a very good query for me, because we love queries on this show. And your query, you said you loved the interview. Yeah, I say it so often. I just love listening to people's stories and what motivates them. So I like the interview too. Love your thoughts about artists, especially. And here's where you lead into your question. Comedians who denounce other women as being, and this is the word you have used, but in context, problematic. This week's on-air apology by Charlie Pickering towards Grace Tame has led me to ask this question. I'd take it broader than any comedian, artist, and it's just men thing generally. Because this whole problematic thing, frankly, is just a way of covering up what I call low-level sexism. I mean, sexism exists in varying degrees. It's all invalid. It's all unjustified, whether it's physical, God forbids, physical or sexual violence, all that sort of, or whether it's emotional abuse, whether it's sort of men talking over women in meetings, or as I've said a few times on this show, when I was more involved in communities, I had cisgender gay men who even talk to me directly. It was like they'd talk to someone else and that person would then relay a message onto me, like someone was, doing those old-fashioned interpreters or translators you used to see on international sort of award shows or something. That's all this problematic thing is. It's just a diplomatic way of saying a man-identified person saying a woman who's not passive, submissive and quiet as defined by me is problematic. And I will call out once again Anthony Albanese, but it's why I'm now closing this show every week with stay difficult and stay happy. Catch you next week, because we need to call it out. And I just think it's just a massive double standard indeed. Thanks for that query, Rome. As for Grace Tame, yeah, I think that she is amazing. I think it stinks that she's lost a lot of work since Albo had a go at her a few months ago. It gets into issues where if you don't say exactly the right thing according to the powers that be, you get cancelled in some way or another. And I think what happened to her was not appropriate. And you've said Grace is a phenomenal ally and a woman with a history of trauma and, well, your words, outspoken views. Well, outspoken is relative. I mean, I lost count of the times that I, as someone involved in advocacy, was called militant. Again, because I was not passive, submissive and quiet as defined by men and all that sort of thing. And I mean, I just think she, says it, powerfully and assertively. She sticks to her own truth. I did see her in conversation, I think it was with Magda, about 2023, and she was amazing. And she said something that stuck with me. Neurodivergent people find it hard to tell a lie. Well, why should anyone lie just to express in an opinion? And if your truth is something that's destructive to someone else, why say it? And in that sense, in my opinion, Albanese's so-called truth, if he honestly thought Tame was difficult, then, he needs to look at himself there. And I have to say, to be honest, I think that Anthony Albanese really is just another bloke. He's just a little more subtle about it. And I find him problematic, to be perfectly honest, because anyone who, you know, can't keep growing, and particularly when you're in a position of high leadership or any degree of leadership, are you a leader? That'll get me into trouble. But that's why 3CR is here, because we are Radical Radio. And we have a radiothon coming up. As you heard, please support us. 3cr.org.au/donate. The radiothon show is next week. So please, support us there. I've got one more brief but very important update to come. So I'll just grab a couple more messages and then come back, tell you what's coming up for the rest of the afternoon on 3CR. And we'll close the program. So you're on 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
They're eyeing off an estate which is in perfectly good condition. It just happens to have bay views and a lot of open space.
Bayviews for All is a new documentary that reveals the human cost of the Victorian Government's public housing redevelopment project. The film documents residents of the Barrack Beacon public housing estate as they fight to save their homes and community. Bayviews for All is available for community members, public housing advocates and organisations to screen, intending to spark conversations, raise funds and educate audiences on the importance of public housing. To organise a screening, email barrackbeacon@gmail.com. That's barrackbeacon@gmail.com.
Save public housing! Stop the demolition!
A 3CR supporter.
Wondering how to pay your donation to 3CR Radiothon? It's easy. You can pay online at 3cr.org.au or call us any weekday with your credit card details on 03 9419 8377. You can also come into the station at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during office hours and pay by cash or card. Or simply post your cheque or money order to PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066. And be sure to tell us which program you'd like your donation to go to.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
The half century up for 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au and 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. A couple of things, actually, that I wanted to mention because my brain did something dangerous. It worked as I was listening to those messages. But let's get just very quickly mention these. As I discussed in detail last week, was the ridiculous bill that would have effectively annulled, for all intents and purposes, federal anti-discrimination protections on the basis of gender identity. But thanks to an article by leading lawyer Margot Thornton in yesterday's Saturday paper, I just want to read a couple of quotes out that I think have given a sense of safety, grounding and reassurance, although, of course, we still need to, be careful and make sure that the nonsense doesn't get any further. So one comment was, quote, "Furthermore, Australian courts have been departing from the British position on transgender issues for more than 30 years. So the sort of piffle that went down in the UK with the biological sex court case, far less likely to happen here. We are our own courts. Since we had more independence from UK courts in 1984 after constitutional changes, there can't be any appeal to the UK. Sorry, Tony, and other people who gave yourself knighthoods, can't do that one." And totally agree just on Charlie Pickering. Yes, the problematic is, Charlie's words, certainly not Roving's. And the idea that, Pickering can speak to a well-known truly problematic person is quite problematic. And I don't care whether Pickering's basis, whether he meant it or not, or whatever, were for attacking Grace Tame, simply not on. And I'd say something else. If Grace Tame does get back to somewhere where she's doing all right and ever needs someone to work with her, I'm in the queue. I think she's flapping awesome. The other quote of great importance from the article, by Margot Thornton on the Silly Bill in the Saturday, referring to Angus Taylor, quote, "He no doubt hoped to see support for the private members bill introduced last week by National Party MP Alison Penfold, in which he proposed to repeal the reference to gender identity in the SDA. Only one person backed the bill, causing it to lapse, meeting the same fate as the one introduced by Pauline Hanson in 2024 and another from Coalition Senators Matt Canavan and Alex Antic last year." End quote. So that, I think, is sort of highly indicative of where once you get past the noise and the fear-mongering and the hysterical whippings up of the Murdoch media and their Muppets, pun intended, I think that, it's pretty clear that a majority of Australians are seeing through the guff. So I hope that offers some reassurance. But the other thing very quickly I wanted to mention, there was a documentary this week on moments that shaped Australia, the marriage equality debate. And I'm going to say that I took a bullet and watched it. It was, in my opinion, a Sydney-based fluff and puff piece. Sally Rugg was the person most quoted in terms of the yes or pro-marriage equality, pro-queer thing. I have nothing against Sally Rugg. I don't think I've even met her. I may have. And I think she did well. But I think we could have had far more community input. But hey, since when does corporate-based Sydney and the Sydney gay stream ever do that? Vile Lyle, is he related to Vile Kyle? Well, it can rhyme and it's not a crime, was quoted, of course, for the No campaign and the usual rantings. And so it is a reminder that although there is a lot of piffle going on out there, that, underneath the piffle, we can fight back. But it's also time, I'm just going to leave you with this thought, that we need to be proactive about standing up for trans people. And that's why you need to support 3CR's radiothon, 3cr.org.au/donate, because we are, in my humble, biased opinion, the most proactive leaders on trans in Australian traditional media. Better get out of here, make way for Freedom of Species, playing animal-themed music today, rotations at 2, more music, Queering the Air with Madison and Peeps at 3, Salaam Radio Show at 4. Take it out today to finish off Mabo Week with a little bit of Troy Kassar Daily, Back on Country. Thanks again to Alex and Joey from Shout Youth Chorus. I'm Sally Goldner. Remember, stay difficult and stay happy. Catch you next week.
Tailed eagle circles high, in spirit it is free. Since I grew up, he's followed close wherever I may be. I feel the wind across my face and touch it with my hand. No matter what your bloodlines, we belong to this land. Could be white, but come and join the choir. This feeling in your belly means you're welcome at this fire. So many generations between us we can trace, flowing like a river down to our dreaming place. Back on country. Thank you.
Country might be a family farm, North Queensland patch of dirt. King Street is
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Did you enjoy listening to that podcast? 3CR is a community radio station, and you, the listener, are a part of that community. Right now, it's our radiothon. We need you to pitch in with a few dollars to keep the station going. We can't do it without you. It's easy. Head to 3cr.org.au/donate. Your donations really matter.